Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. My name is Graham. I will be your host. It's Wednesday. It's 9 o'clock. It's the 21st of April, 2021. We've got a special show today. Today's episode is part of KMUN's special district elections coverage. We will hear from candidates for the contested seats on the Clatsop Community College Board. These interviews were conducted by KMUN News Department volunteer Jacob Lewin. Stay tuned for an update at the end of the hour with Jordan from the Harbor about the upcoming Super Bowl fundraiser. And before all that, I want to express my deep gratitude to those who donated during our Spring Pledge Drive fundraiser. Thank you so very much. It just feels so good to hit that goal and know that the community continues to support their radio station. Today's show won't feature any live calls, but we do hope you'll call in a couple weeks when we return to normal conversations. But next week, we will feature more interviews with candidates. Next week is the Sunset Empire Parks and Recreation District interviews. So here we go. This is Jacob Lewin interviewing the candidates for the Clatsop Community College Board. Thanks for tuning into the conversation today. And please do vote in your special district elections, no matter what county or state you live in. Here's Jacob Lewin.
Clatsop Community College is an exceptionally important institution for our area. In an average year, pre-pandemic, more than 2,000 students come through its doors, sometimes staying for 2 days for something like firefighting training, sometimes for 2 years, getting associate degrees in a host of career technical fields or to transfer to a four-year school. It also has 3,500 community education students per year. The college's board sets policy. This spring, 3 seats on the board are being contested, and 1 board member is running unopposed for re-election. Dave Zunkel is an incumbent running against Suzanne Iverson in the zone that includes Warrenton, Gerhart, Seaside, and Cannon Beach. Mr. Zunkel is a retired physician who was appointed to the board 2 years ago and agreed to run for a full term. Mr. Zunkel, why are you running?
I'm running to complete my commitment. That's the narrow reason. The bigger reason is that I'm interested in the community college and its success. And I'm very interested in helping the students of the college get their education and succeed. So I'm interested in students.
What are the 2 or 3 biggest issues that face the college today?
Well, I think now that we are going to be looking back on the COVID pandemic, we are faced with challenges of decreasing enrollment and keeping students. So this is going to be a challenge for this next school year. The computer system at the college has been installed and needs to be brought up to excellent standards. That's a challenge. And then the COVID pandemic put a hold on the MRFS project. That is a project to develop a marine maritime center of excellence. And that has to be put back on track. Plans for a new building have been made, but the funding for that and the fundraising for that needs to get started again.
Do you think that after the pandemic, the college can completely come back?
It's going to be a challenge. The students coming out of high school have had a difficult time. The students that are at the college right now, I believe, are struggling with distance learning and a hybrid education. I think the school has done quite a good job in transitioning, but personally, I feel very strongly that particularly for our students, in-person classes are best. Not the only thing, and I think we'll, as we move along here, we're probably going to end up with a lot of hybrids. But I think that direct instruction, student-teacher relationship is very important and helps the student. It's going to be a challenge. I think it will bounce back. I think this diminished enrollment is pretty standard, and I expect that we're going to bounce back as the economy hopefully bounces back as well.
I know you think now is not the right time to expand course offerings, but what about long term?
Well, there's a few things I think that are coming forward. I talked about the maritime sciences. If that could happen, if funding for the program and for the building. This would be a tremendous advantage, making really Clatsop Community College a center of excellence in the nation. I think there's interest in brewery sciences, and there's, I think, partnership opportunities for that in the area. We would consider expanding nursing, but we're somewhat limited there because of really the availability of only two regional hospitals out here and two smaller hospitals. But you know, those are some examples. But we also got a large infusion of money from the Museum of Speed in Portland, which closed this year. So a good amount of money went into the automotive program there. So there's opportunity for expansion there based on the $385,000 that was donated to the school. So exciting. Community colleges are all about the money. You have to get the funding to do things.
Why do you think you're qualified to help handle these challenges?
I was a diagnostic radiologist. I'm used to looking at scans and images and x-rays and so on. I was a visual detective, basically. I had 25 years of education to become a physician, a radiologist, and with a specialty in ultrasound and CT scanning. And so I'm interested in lifelong learning. I learned throughout my university career, and then being a physician, there was always continuing medical education. So I've been fortunate to be able to do some teaching at the University of Washington School of Medicine and also at Seattle U when I was a working physician. But I've also continued that after retirement. I've been president of ENCORE, which is short for Exploring New Concepts of Retirement Education. So it's a group of seniors and retired people who, in conjunction with the college, provide educational opportunities for seniors and retired people. I think I have, you know, pretty good common sense and understand the educational process. I've taken courses at the college, so I've seen it from the side of being a student as well.
The college's graduation rate for full-time students is 35%. How does that strike you?
It seems low to me, but I'm not really surprised considering our very diverse student population. We have older students. We have a lot of students who work. We have parents who need child care. A lot of students at the college have challenges, including, and this is really important, I think, a decent percentage of students, although I can't tell you exactly what percentage, have food and housing insecurity. And boy, it's hard to stay in college when you're couch surfing or don't have a permanent residence or you're worried about your food. So there's a lot of challenges out there for our students.
What do you think of the idea of making tuition free?
I think it would be a tremendous help to a lot of students who have financial challenges. But it gets into a very sticky wicket of how that can be afforded by society. But I've been very interested in the scholarship part of it because I was on the foundation board for 2 years before I joined the community college board. And there are a lot of opportunities for students to get scholarships. It could be more, but there is money out there for students who are motivated and sign up for those scholarships. What we've also seen, Jacob, is students' needs to stay in school go beyond tuition, books. So the foundation is working, I think, hard to support students that are enrolled, but finances are very hard. The food pantry, which just opened last month, is an example of what the foundation and college are doing to help support students and get them over the hump.
Dave Zunkel is a candidate for the Clatsop Community College Board. Suzanne Iverson is running for Clatsop Community College Board Zone 3, which stretches from Warrenton to Cannon Beach. She's running against an incumbent, Dave Zunkel. Ms. Iverson worked at the college from 1987 to 2005 in workforce training and community education. She also owned a horse farm just south of Astoria. Ms. Iverson, why are you running?
I'm basically running. I guess my goal would be to look at ways the college can actually support more training opportunities for people wanting to take academic courses, as well as doing specific skill trainings, either on an individual basis or employment opportunities for both the individual and the employer. I think that the programs that they're offering now are great. And I think that a lot of those programs could be enhanced and you could offer more of those classes. I can't speak specifically, as I don't know now, as to what's going on compared to when I worked at the college. But I believe now there's, you know, more time than ever is important with a COVID thing and all of that, to see as many opportunities for people to look at, you know, if they're looking at changing jobs or wanting to enhance the skills that they have, or even a career change.
You're challenging an incumbent. Do you think the current board is going in the wrong direction?
You know, I don't know that, because I don't know really the board members now. I'm just saying my idea of a board, especially a college board, would be that we would have a diverse group. And, you know, that would be ideal. I think that probably is happening now. I think that, you know, it's probably combined with people that worked in education or were educators, as well as people that worked in, you know, in business. If you're talking about board members, I don't know that answer, because I don't know my incumbent. And I only know a couple of the other people that are sitting on the board now. And the ones that I do know, I believe are doing a great job. So, but there's always room for other ideas. And I guess that was the reason that I felt like I could maybe contribute something.
The 3-year graduation rate for full-time students is 35%. Is that good enough? And if not, what can be done?
If students are struggling, you know, there are advisors and counselors that they can talk to, you know, at the college. That's always been an opportunity. Sometimes people have to, they take some classes and they get enough education where they get a job. And then when they get into their job, they find out later on that they need to go back and take more education. So, you know, sometimes your intention of going for your full, you know, to get your actually associate degree doesn't always happen right away. Sometimes you have to go back to work and then come back. So that's a lot harder to track, but I believe that happens a lot. I think the focus is to get the education that you need in order to do a job. Well, getting a degree is very important as well, but you also need to get that education and training to perform. So I think it's twofold. I think both are important, and I think they're equally as important.
The group that accredits the college thought that there was a trend away from full-time teachers. About 3/4 of instructors are part-time at CCC. Is that a problem?
The ideal, again, would be having more full-time faculty, because, you know, you've got a consistent group of people, and of course, you know, you work together. It's harder when you get your part-time people that are just there part-time and you don't have that same camaraderie and communication. I understand, you know, that the budget restraints sometimes prohibit that, because when you have full-time faculty, you're looking at, you know, all of the other your benefits that aren't there for your part-time people.
You want to add course offerings. Why is that important for you?
It's got to be diverse, because we're a very diverse community and we're 100 miles away from Portland. And we can meet the needs of our community a lot better and a lot faster if we have the resources here in our area to do that. If, say, for example, a student wanted to go to get a 4-year degree, but it was easier to stay at home for the first 1 or 2 years and get the training here in our area, it's a lot more cost effective and easier, a lot more convenient. Same thing with training, whether it be, a certificate program or a short-term skills training, even looking at your apprenticeship programs and also licenses. When you're an electrician or a plumber or a contractor, you constantly need to have your certificates updated, or you won't get your new license.
You co-owned horse stables. How did that experience play into your candidacy?
When we have the horse arena, I was also working at the college. It was kind of like two jobs in one, I guess. But what I always felt like when we have the horse stable was that I could get the needed training that I needed. I could tell others and have others get that training. And also during my whole time when I worked at the college, I had to update my skills. And so I think that, you know, the two go together. We also had a lot of young people that came out every day to take care of their horses. And I constantly talked to them about training. We had our local veterinarian come in and do training. We worked with 4-H. We even had a program for people with disabilities.
Any other ways the school can improve?
A couple of things that I think the college could look at maybe a little harder is more marketing. I understand that the printed schedules kind of were not going out, and I'm hoping that they would come back, because although I hear ads on the radio and I know there's, you know, a lot of internet activity, there's a lot of other ways that we can market, because not everybody's going to be on the internet. Not everybody listens to the radio. So the more ways we can look at marketing to let people know what's going on up at the college is important. The college sits away up on the hill. It's not in the beaten path when you're in Astoria. And so I think you constantly have to remind people that it's there, whether people have lived here for a long time or have just moved into the area. So I think that's just a really important thing. And I also, you know, with the pandemic going on right now and people that are, you know, searching for employment and so on, I would hate to see tuition go up at a rate, you know, a high rate right now, to give everybody the opportunity to be able to take classes. And that would be a concern of mine.
Suzanne Iverson is a candidate for the Clatsop Community College Board. Sarah Meyer is a member of the Clatsop Community College Board who is running for re-election against Patrick Preston in the zone that includes the city of Astoria. She was co-owner of The Complete Photographer and has been an advisor to the Job Corps at Tongue Point and at one point the Job Corps in Jersey City, New Jersey. She's been on the Astoria School Board and the Governor's Commission on Youth. Ms. Meyer, why are you running this year?
Well, I want to be elected and continue to serve on the Clatsop Community College Board. I've got the time and the energy, and I've got a pretty good background in working and understanding people. I value education. I support career training, and I believe that our community succeeds with the strengths and the skills offered by an educated populace. Equity's always been important to me, but I'm not running on concerning issues. I don't have that as a reason that I'm running. If I have a dream, education would hold such great value that all the needs were met and we all thrived.
In recent years, there's been somewhat of a re-evaluation of the idea that every student needs to go to college for 4 years. At Clatsop, we are roughly 50% career training, trades, in other words, and 50% students who plan to transfer to four-year schools, along with some other programs. What do you think of the mix of students?
I like the idea that we're coming back into some career training programs. And that takes a wealth of variations on what that is. It's not just the four-year college that gives you philosophy or science or engineering or English or whatever one wants to pursue in advanced learning. Career training is important. It's been one of the original reasons that community colleges became community colleges. It was to do the career training possibilities and then encourage people to go on to 4 year institutions and make it a very affordable local. People could live at home and go to trainings. If the number is 50-50, that sounds good for community colleges.
Enrollment has been hit hard by the pandemic, but if we completely recover, should the college enrollment, which has been about 1,300 full-time equivalent, grow?
We've had a fairly consistent enrollment over the years, or the last at least 4 years, I think it is. And actually, if we go over, I think it's 1,500, that we go into a different type of a funding from the state. And so it's at one system, it's to our advantage to stay one of the smaller community colleges. And in another, if we're really going to go, then we need to go big. We need to get another 200 or so. And that takes a lot of money to get our faculty up. under 1500, we are at a higher per student FTE reimbursement, which helps us meet our budget.
What do you see as the role of a board member?
The last 2 years, we've been updating policies to get them current. Last year, we went through the 7-year evaluation accreditation for the campus, but we did not actually, the board doesn't do. They authorize after things are being presented to them. We don't actually go out and say we want a new great science class being taught, created. We could say that we need to, in our views for the next few years, if we want to have board policy, that we thought that we should have a vision for increasing the sciences, then we could ask the president to tell us what that means, what's possible. But we don't actually do that. There's a policy to do the best that we can with what we have to work with.
Would you support any program additions or eliminations?
There are efforts from different staff people and the president to maybe expand how, we're looking at brewery, beer making, because we've got all of the breweries around, and sometimes educational information on through chemistry and some physics would help the brewmakers do better brewing and understand what they're doing better. So there's conversations with those folks to help maybe offer something that can be utilized in their areas. And that could then transfer into working towards some chemistry degree if somebody wanted to go on to a 4-year. There is a conversations because we have some more land out at Mertz that the environmental sciences, so we have a good science department. Maybe we can expand a class or so that would do an environmental emphasis and then lead to maybe an AA degree in the environmental sciences. Those are things that are within committees on campus doing some discussion, and I think it's exciting.
The school has been criticized for not tracking students who leave school. Should tracking be improved?
Not unless we can find some funds to do it. I would not take data collecting money away from a faculty position. And those are things that when they bring up budgets that we have to make some decisions on. I'm not too sure who benefit from the data collection.
With artificial intelligence on the rise, is the college doing enough to make sure the jobs it's training students for will be there in future years?
If I believe some of the stats that I'm reading and looking at artificial intelligence, there's another acronym that's coming even beyond that, where what humans will need to be able to do is to enjoy life and be able to give information to the robotics that are going to be doing all the services. And so we have a cultural change that we need to accept, which would lead to my thinking that where we might need to be working is life experiences in appreciation of the arts and our own creative talents that we might enjoy doing. And so then they come back to maybe personal cooking might be of interest to somebody, or just personal life fulfillment, because if what our culture has been that you have to work 40 hours to get paid to do something, potentially is going to come times where you aren't going to have to work. You're going to be able to enjoy your life as a human developing your abilities. That's a little bit far-fetched for me, but if that's where we're going, then we need to maybe put a little bit more emphasis on personal enhancement classes, not training for jobs. That's really a stretch for me. I mean, I'll be dead, but somebody's got to look at that.
Is the school doing enough to connect local employers with its programs?
That was a concern of mine, that we were a college, they call it the college on the hill, which means it's isolated from others. And I think that with Chris Brettmeyer as a president, he has made an emphasis to reach out more. And Kevin Leahy is with Clatsop SBDC and the CEDAR program, which is a business-oriented, we're an example for the rest of the state and how our college helped businesses in the county. It's been just really informative. Julie Kovacs from the college is now the president of the Astoria Historical District Downtown Association, so she's reaching out. I think there's really an effort to be more involved and letting businesses know what training we have, and then they have in turn said we could use more people that understand cash registers. I think the hospitals are utilizing our nursing program extremely well.
Sarah Meyer, thank you. Patrick Preston is a candidate for the Clatsop Community College Board, Zone 2. That takes in the city of Astoria and a bit of the surrounding area. Candidates whom we'll be talking to later are in the zone that includes Warrenton, Gerhardt, Seaside, and Cannon Beach. Mr. Preston will be running against Sarah Meyer, who is an incumbent. Mr. Preston is a veteran who served on active duty for 12 years, finishing at the rank of major. He then went to work for the Oregon Employment Department, involved in workforce training and development. Mr. Preston, what do you see as the two or three biggest community college issues for you?
The issues I see are providing guidance to improve first-time registration and focusing on bringing students back to Clatsop Community College. I see that we need to do a much better job of managing the dollars. How are we spending that finite amount of dollars that we have? Enrollments. You know, first-time students, you know, I looked at the numbers and they're really astounding on how bad they are. You know, the college has a failed computer system. What needs to be done about that? And, you know, finding out whether keeping it, moving on or whatnot is should be on the top of everybody's list, because this last registration period, we lost a lot of students because they couldn't register. That's a failure on the college's part. I've got two daughters who are currently attending part-time classes for Clatsop Community College. Both of them struggle with registration. The time frames were ungodly. 4 hours is not enough time to fully register with a system that doesn't work. There was no help, so they struggled to get in there and get registered and to get signed up. Maybe providing some kind of assistance from the college and keeping it open longer hours to register, you know, with a helpline would facilitate students registering quickly, right, timely, and getting the stuff they need to start the classes on time. And that didn't happen last semester.
Now, the three-year graduation rate for full-time students, according to the school, is 35%. Is that adequate?
I don't believe it's high enough. 35 might be an average for community college, but if we want to be average, that's fine. So if we want it to excel, then the standard has to be higher. To me, 95% is a goal that should be reached for. So if we have a target of 95%, and every year we see a significant growth of 5 or 10% to get there, that's totally acceptable. But to leave it at 35, that's average. Why are we average?
Enrollment at the college has been hit hard by the pandemic, but you think that even the numbers we had before the pandemic, about 1,350 full-time equivalent, were too low?
Anything like this is a numbers game. The more people we have enrolled, the more people we get FTE funding for. The more funding we get, the more programs we can offer. The better job we can do at providing the services needed by students so that they can enter the workforce, because that's the other side of it. What are employers looking for when they're seeking workers? Somebody who's trained, qualified, who can step in, make decisions, do their job. And the workforce does not have that right now. There's no pathway, direct pathway into the workforce other than trial and error. So the community college is a foundation for that as well.
What qualifies you to fulfill these goals?
I know the people within the local community. I know the people in the state agencies. I've been actively involved, as we talked about, as the chairman for the TAP committee for the Ride the Bus. I'm working with the transportation issues, which is also a key component, and the Coast Guard, which is also there. I set up a program for the Coast Guard in Clatsop Community College and Coos Bay College for the Transitional Assistance Program, and I taught that for 5 years.
How might your military experience help?
Well, I'd say my military experience taught me leadership. as a major, a retired major, my role was to lead soldiers, to lead personnel in all aspects of a company or a battalion or whatnot, right? To plan how to move and how to operate in most types of environments, all types of environments. So that's led me here today.
Would it be practical to add programs at this point?
We don't have much, housing, none, but we do have students come from across the state that want to come to college at Clatsop Community College. Why? Because of some of the programs, such as the fire program, the auto, the welders, the ship, mariner, and the nursing program. All are quality programs that we provide that bring other students here from around the state and region. Why aren't we looking to expand? And I'll give you an example. Dental assistant, right now, when was the last time you went and had your teeth worked on? I did just the other day. And you know what the assistant told me? She's working with two dentists. There's a shortage around the country for dental assistants. So why aren't we taking this step forward and maybe working with Job Corps to develop a program like we did the nursing program that would train students for all they need is a two-year degree?
Patrick Preston is a candidate for the Clatsop Community College Board. Bob Demig is running for election to the Community College Board for the seat that mostly takes in the city of Astoria. He is a seven-year incumbent, currently chairs the board, and continues a career in health and education. Mr. Demig, why are you running for re-election?
I think that Clatsop Community College is one of the most important institutions in our community. We have many, by all means, but I think the college is one that is a sign of stability. I think it's a sign of future opportunity for our youth that are coming out of high school, that are in high school, that are working here, want additional training. It's an institution of opportunity for our current workforce, no matter what they're doing, that they can come up and get additional training, and that it's an opportunity for people just to come through as community members and get community education. So I'm running to continue the work that I've done over the last few years as a board member.
We're still, of course, in a pandemic. Do you think what's happened presents any opportunities to the college?
When we come out of this pandemic, we're going to be doing things very differently. Unlike other recessions where I think we understand what the pattern is of the number of students who come in during a recession and then what the needs are after a recession and how budgets work after a recession. This pandemic is changing a lot of things. It changes how we deliver our education. It's going to change how students look for educational institutions because of that. It's going to change the way that we build and do layout and design for the future. As we go forward, the ability to offer more classes online, most likely in hybrid methods versus completely online, as we sort of reassess how we do that delivery model, we're going to be doing more online. And that means that we need to make sure our college is a college of choice, because all of the other community colleges and four-year institutions are also going to be doing more things online. And that means there's going to be different opportunities for students while they stay here in Clatsop County. So we need to make sure that as we deliver education in the new world, that it's done in such a way that meets people's needs both in person and online, and in maintaining the quality that it takes to deliver that.
Artificial intelligence is taking over more and more job functions. Do you think the college is doing a good enough job of making sure that jobs you are training for will be there in the years ahead?
Yes, I think we're doing a good job, because when we're looking at the needs and the programming that we're offering, we're doing that based on the work we do in the community. We do that through our advisory boards that we have with the various industry sectors. So we are listening to what people want and adapting our programming to meet that. I think there's a huge challenge out there to the workforce on many levels due to automation, whether it's warehouse work or whether it's timber or whether it's any number of things. Automation is going to happen, and I think we have to continue to work with our industry partners to make sure that as those things change, we're there to offer the programming that's needed. So it is a never-ending challenge.
Would you like to see any programs added or eliminated, and is that part of your job to pursue that sort of thing?
As a policy board, we are there to help set the policy, to guide the college and allow it to meet the needs of the community. And I don't think it's really our place as board members to walk in and say, I think we need this program or we don't need that program. I think we need to work with and set the stage so that the college can work with our partners in the community and our students and look at the direction that education is going in and develop the programs that we need to meet those needs. So are there some great programs out there? You know, look, I would love to see us do more in the environmental end, you know, down with the Mertz campus and the new property that's down there. But does that mean that we are in a financial position to start up a program and be able to maintain that program? You know, that's the kind of thing that needs to be assessed and determined. So whenever we start a program, we're doing it in a way that we can sustain it, that students can depend on it being there as they complete their education, employers can depend on it being there to meet their job needs.
The 3-year graduation rate for full-time students at CCC is 35%. Mr. Demick, how does that strike you?
I would love to see it go higher. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, we all want 100%, right? But the reality is, in our situation, we have a lot of students that will come in and they'll get a certain amount of training and they will leave and go right into jobs. We have a lot of students that come in at varying points in their educational road and they have to leave for family reasons, for work reasons, for a whole number of things. And so it's hard sometimes to be able to maintain those levels. What I think we should do, and I think we are really have done quite well in the last couple of years, is what can we do better to meet your need once we get you into that program? What is the support you need? And we need to look at what the other challenges that they're going to be facing post-pandemic and do our best to make sure we've got those support services there for them. But to the point of 35%, I'm not surprised by that number. I think that's a reality to some degree of some of our student population and the ins and outs. I think it takes on average 6 years now for a community college graduate to graduate. So there's going to be a lot of students coming and going through that process.
The joke used to be when you ask the graduation rate in the welding program, for example, it would be zero because all the students gain their skill, drop out, and get good jobs. But the school doesn't really track to see if that really is the case, should it?
Yeah, I think it's a huge thing. We've talked about that over the last few years, about the fact that what we really need to do is get a football team so we can track our graduates better. Because, you know, we joke about that colleges that are able to do an alumni association or maintain a connection to their institutions so often have the best sports program. Short of that, yeah, there's a lot of work that I think we can do. And I think we are well aware of that shortfall. I think as we are redoing our system up there now to enroll students and our financial systems, et cetera, that we'll be able to build off that new component, that new system that we've put in to begin to track folks a little bit better. And I know that the foundation is looking at it, trying to look at ways to do that as well. It is a big negative for us not being able to track them, but I do know it's a commitment on the members of the board right now to try to figure out the best way to do that.
Very good. Anything else you'd like to add?
I've worked in healthcare and education pretty much my whole life. I've worked with the American Federation of Teachers. I've worked for Congressman Wu. I have been at OHSU for nearly 20 years and at the Oregon Office of Rural Health for the last 15 years. And I've done a lot of work with rural communities, getting students involved in sciences and in career opportunities. And I think my time on a number of statewide boards, including the Oregon Rural Health Association, the Telehealth Alliance of Oregon, are key to what I am able to do as a board member at Clatsop. And you know, I've worked part-time as a medic or an EMT, actually, for medics here in the North Coast. And so I feel like I understand the community, and I have a strong commitment to the college and to the future of the college, and hope that my years on the board so far have shown that I've done a really good job and that people are happy enough to send me back for another term.
Bob Demig is an incumbent member of the Clatsop Community College Board. He's being challenged by Trudy Van Dusen-Chitovich. She is the co-owner of Van Dusen Beverages, has worked as a management consultant and corporate strategist, and is on the board of the Friends of Astoria column. Ms. Van Dusen-Chitovich, why are you running?
Well, I'm running because I see a big need for leadership at the college in the coming years due to a drop in enrollment, partially due to COVID and other factors. And this is an important time because last year and the next 2 years are the funding metrics that the state uses based on enrollment to determine what future funding will be for the college. So if the college is not able to quickly turn that around and increase enrollment, it could have a very serious negative effect on the college going forward.
What are the two or three biggest issues facing the college, in your opinion?
I would say that COVID, of course, has been, a change for every industry across the board. But the Chronicle of Higher Education actually pointed out that it has been especially hard on community colleges, because normally during a recession, that translates to an increase in enrollment at community colleges, where that's not been the case in this instance. It's translated to a big decrease in enrollment. And then the push toward remote learning has created other challenges for community colleges that weren't necessarily as prepared, nor did they have robust resources to handle that. So that is the number one concern of mitigating the losses that have happened due to COVID and kind of trailblazing a new path forward with remote learning. The second issue is the software system concerns. In July of last year, the college implemented a new software system for managing all of the processes, including registration. And there was a vote of no confidence among the faculty and staff who've used it. And that led to even people who wanted to register not being able to register at the college. So that's something that very quickly needs to be addressed. And then another big piece coming up is the proposed construction out at Tongue Point for the Marine Sciences Building. Just deciding if that's the direction that the college needs to go right now, or how we can go about accomplishing that and still maintaining the focus on getting students in the doors at the existing facilities.
Are you saying the Mertz Marine Sciences expansion should be scrapped?
With the existing plan, I won't say that I'm an expert, but it sounds like the proposed costs for that were in the neighborhood of $20 million or more, which just seems like an outrageous amount to be spending, considering we have 800-plus full-time students at the moment at the community college. Not to say that we shouldn't do it, but just taking a good hard look at whether we're spending our time and resources in the right place. There's an $8 million grant, but it's a matching grant that's out there. And if there were a way to leverage that grant with outside donors to move forward with a project that would allow the college to get it, particularly the ship driving simulator, I think that would be wonderful. But I just don't know if that's the priority right here in this moment.
Why are you qualified to take on those challenges?
The main thing for me is that I'm originally from the community. I feel very personally connected to the community, and community service has been part of our family for generations. And I grew up with my father being the mayor and just attending ribbon cuttings and just seeing from a personal perspective what community service can do. And I want to continue that for my own kids. My kids were born in Portland, but we've moved here. I want them to be a part of this community for generations to come. And higher education and the college is such a key part of securing this community so that everyone will have a brighter future going forward. And then my background in business, I was a management consultant for Fortune 500 companies. I worked in strategy for PepsiCo, which is a multi-billion dollar company. And then I've worked here in my family business. So I've seen it from a lot of different perspectives, and I'd like to just bring the skills and background that I have to the college to hopefully kind of shore up the future.
Are there programs you'd like to see added or eliminated?
The main thing for me is I really think we have a new opportunity that 2 years ago might not have seemed like an opportunity for community colleges to work together with remote learning, where I know at one point a couple of years ago, physics was a big concern for Clatsop Community College because of low enrollment, but it was also a required course for a lot of transfer degrees to go on for, you know, further education. So my question was, you know, why would every single community college in Oregon need to offer physics? Couldn't we do a partnership with Tillamook, for example, where we have a physics teacher who teaches remotely, and then when lab time is necessary, at that point you can all meet together. But it's not where each community college has to have their own full-time physics professor, as an example.
The commission that accredits the school, while giving it positive marks overall, criticized it for not tracking students after they left. Fair criticism?
Oh, I think that is absolutely critical. Not only tracking students who've graduated, but students who were enrolled and for whatever reason in the next quarter don't re-enroll, or as has happened in this year, the following year they don't enroll, and reaching out to those students and getting in touch with them. I think that's a real opportunity and something that needs to be a focus. If you're going to work on enrollment, you have to understand why people aren't sticking around. So I think that whether it's reaching people by phone, by email, through a survey, even through snail mail, depending on the person, that outreach is going to be critical to gain understanding of what the college needs to do in the future to retain students.
With automation on the march, taking more and more jobs, is the college doing a good enough job of providing training for jobs that will be there for students in the years ahead?
As I look through the programs that are most notable, the nursing program, for example, that can never be eliminated. You're always going to need a human who can be there to take care of someone else. Marine sciences is another one that would be really difficult to automate. I mean, as we know with the bar pilots, it is such a specific and technical trade. It'd be pretty difficult to completely eliminate that. Also, the historic restoration programs really do require that breadth of experience and expertise on something that is not being manufactured anymore. So there are a lot of great programs related to that. As far as moving forward, I think the fact that the college has this opportunity to move more remote, that's going to go hand in hand with students learning how to work remotely, if that's what the future holds for them in a lot of different career paths.
Trudy Van Dusen-Cheetovich is a candidate for the Clatsop Community College Board, running against incumbent Bob Demick. Another candidate, Christina Secord, filed to run as well, but has decided to withdraw due to a personal tragedy. However, her name will still appear on the ballot.
Thus concludes our election coverage for the Clatsop Community College Board. Thank you to KMUN News Department volunteer Jacob Lewin for pre-producing those interviews. Hope you can be a more informed voter thanks to all that. After a quick break, we're going to come back and talk with Jordan Okanowski from The Harbor about the upcoming Super Bowl fundraiser. And then it's back to great music for the rest of the day. Stay tuned. It's The Conversation on KMUN. Song is entitled Song for George by Eric Johnson, and hopefully you all understand why I chose that tune today. Welcome back to The Conversation. I'm Graham. I've got a special guest named Jordan from The Harbor. How are you, Jordan?
Doing well, Graham. Thanks so much for having us on.
Great to see you as always. Sounds like you've got a big event coming up and you'd like to let our audience know about it. So the floor is yours.
Great. Thanks. Yeah, I'm just trying to spread the word about our Soup Bowl. It is the Harbor's biggest fundraising event of the year, and it will be going on May 1st. So we are getting the word out right now.
This is the 17th annual, right?
17th annual-ish, we're saying.
Okay, fair enough.
We got a little postponed from last year, so right. Yeah.
Well, please, go on.
Yeah, so as a lot of our listeners might be aware, the Harbor is our county's local domestic and sexual violence resource agency. We do all sorts of things, from consultations, helping people find legal resources and financial resources, as well as shelter for people who need to leave dangerous situations. And we are a completely free of cost agency. So events like the Soup Bowl are crucial for us to be able to offer our services to people here in the community 24/7, 365. We are open every single day of the year at every hour. You can reach one of us. So these events are super crucial for us. So yeah, it's a big event, and we're really thrilled to be bringing it to all of you. And it should be lots of fun.
It stands out to me as a pretty cool event because not only do you get the opportunity to be generous with a great organization, but you get something out of it in return, right?
Yeah. So this year, because it is going to be an online event, we are going to try to hybridize that a little bit. So in years past, what we've had is a big gala. Ticket sales get you in. We have a bunch of soups donated from restaurants usually. We'll have some sort of entertainment, a keynote speaker. And this year, oh, and of course, I can't forget our bowls from our incredible potter, Richard Rowland, who's a pottery professor at the college. He does this timeless Japanese pottery technique of live fire kiln. It's like an old Japanese technique. It's beautiful. And so this year, we wanted to keep a lot of those same in-person elements going, even though it's going to be an online event. So we switched things up a little bit. So for starters, everyone who buys a ticket this year will still be able to get a free bowl from Richard Rowland. He did an absolutely incredible job this year. He took me out to his property and showed me his kiln and all the bowls he made. He made 120, and they are just beautiful. So that's the first thing everyone who gets a ticket will receive. And the second thing that we wanted to do is we still wanted to offer soup, but because of the pandemic, we figured we didn't want restaurants to have to donate the way they have in years past. So we're going to do things a little bit differently. Everyone who gets a bowl and gets a ticket will also receive a pack of 5 soupons. And these are good for a free soup from local participating restaurants if they spend $20 at the restaurant. And then what we're also going to be able to do is at the end of the month, they'll be good for the month of May. We're also going to let the restaurant cash those out with us. So we'll be giving the restaurants a little bit of cash back. This will be generated from the ticket sales. So we're still making money too. But we just want to help out the restaurants a little bit and say thank you for all these restaurants that have made this so memorable in the past.
Very cool. Well, I'm glad that you could come and spread the word. Critical was the key word, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you have a sense for how enrollment is this time around? Did you just open up the tickets? So
we opened up ticket sales last week, and we are already at about 50% capacity. So that is exciting, but also means that if you are interested in attending this event, getting a bowl, getting your soupons, you should buy your tickets fast because this will sell out once again, I believe. So
that's right. And we have a policy about not mentioning the price of things, but if you go to harbornw.org/soupbowl, you can find the link to purchase tickets. You can see who all of the participating sponsors are, who all the participating restaurants are. And you can also learn more about the Harbor if you don't know. But yeah, I've seen the bowls. I've seen the kiln, the Anagama kiln. It's really an extraordinary thing that Professor Rowland is doing. And to share those skills in such a just such a generous way is very cool.
It blows me away. Yeah, absolutely. If I could just say this real fast, the generosity of everyone who has donated to this event is just it's staggering. All the small businesses who had the roughest year in years, all the restaurants, everybody coming together. We could not do this without this incredible community we live in. So I just want to take the opportunity to say thank you so much to everybody. And of course, huge thanks to Professor Rowland, who for 17 years now has been giving hundreds of bowls to us every single year.
Are there any other programs or anything else on the radar for the Harbor coming up in the near future?
Yeah. So one thing I do want to plug real fast related to Soup Bowl, that, but lest I forget, if you go to our website, as Graham just mentioned, harbornw.org, we also have a link to our silent auction page. We wanted to continue doing silent auctions this year. And this year we're running them essentially from 2 weeks ago up until the end of the event. So the silent auctions are online right now. Check those out. We've got some great deals going right now on some awesome donations from a lot of great local businesses. So please check those out. There's a link to those on our website. Once again, harbornw.org. Check those out. And then at our event, we'll talk a little bit about new programs, but we've got a lot going on right now, from healthy relationship classes in local public schools to all sorts of things. So we're doing a lot for the community right now. We're about to do even more development as things go back in person. And it's just an exciting time in the Harbor, for sure.
Absolutely. Well, we've got a few minutes left in the hour. Is there anything else you wanted to add before we sign off?
I think that's about all. I'll probably remember in 20 minutes, honestly.
HarborNW.org. Get your tickets for the 17th-ish annual Soup Bowl and support this amazing, what did you call it, a cost-free organization or...
Yeah, free of cost to everyone who needs our services. We are just here for the community.
It's so extraordinary. Yeah. All right, Jordan. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, and I hope to see you all at the Soup Bowl. And the website says you can wear your pajamas since it's virtual, so take advantage of that this year. Maybe your last opportunity.
Yeah.
All right. Take care, well, Jordan. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Graham. I really appreciate it.
We'll see you around.
See ya.
Bye. That is the Harbor's Soup Bowl. Coming right up, Saturday, May 1st at 7 p.m., harbornw.org for more details. Want to remind everyone that the ballots for these special district elections go out late next week, so pay attention to those for those to come in the mail. If you're in Clatsop County, you're looking at seats for the Clatsop Community College Board, the Falcon Cove Beach Water District, the Napa School District 4, and the Sunset Empire Park and Recreation District. Next week's conversation will feature interviews with candidates for the Sunset Empire Park and Recreation District. But that's just Clatsop County. What about you in Pacific County or Wakayakum County or Tillamook County? Victoria, our board president, wanted to let me know that there are lots of positions up in North Tillamook County, including a couple positions on the board for the North County Recreation District. And but there's a long list of openings. Tillamook County Emergency Communications District 911, Tillamook County Transportation District, Neocani School District number 56, Tillamook Bay Community College, Nadana Rural Fire Protection District, Nehalem Bay Fire and Rescue District, Port of Nehalem, the Nehalem Bay Wastewater Agency, Twin Rocks Sanitary District, Neocani Water District, Nehalem Bay Health District, and the North County Recreation District. So again, watch for your ballots to arrive sometime late next week. Please be an informed and participating voter. These are important parts of our, what do we call it, our process as folks living together. Civilization, you're a citizen. Do your job. Get out there and vote. Thanks to everyone who tuned in today. Look forward to going back to the normal routine in a couple weeks after one more week of special district election coverage. Until that time, hope you enjoy all the great stuff that's coming at you on the radio. And until we meet again, I'm Graham. This has been The Conversation, and I hope you all have a great day.